Hi, this is your host, Lori Moylove, on the Limitless Podcast. We're about dreaming bigger. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share, because the most important thing is sharing with a friend to keep them inspired and dreaming bigger. And one thing I want to share personally that I've dreamed bigger is I'm an Odyssey artist, and if you notice my cans, they're the LCD20s, and I'm all for having awesome sound. So check out Odyssey. You can see the link, and make sure to subscribe. Talking about our amazing guest today, we have Willow Edge. She is a rising mastering engineer at the bakery on the Sony lot. And your background, you graduated from USC, so fight on.
Fight on.
We're talking about creativity with audio, and I think your perspective, I'm very curious because our listeners, they listen through all devices, our phone, all sorts, vinyl records, and you print vinyls. So I guess, can you kind of give the comparison of like different listening devices, just like my headphones, and the creativity of managing that audio for different forms?
Yeah, of course. We live in a multimedia format more than ever. Like, as you said, we listen on everything from AirPods to whole hi-fi vinyl turntable systems. So I think the biggest thing to me, at least, is trying to maximize the best quality across whatever format. So like back with the Beatles, they were listening to mostly their mono masters and trusted the engineers to take it up to stereo. And then we got like quadraphonic sound, and not a lot of artists were listening to every format. And now we're even at like Atmos versus the Atmos binaural fold downs versus just the stereo stream. So, there's a lot of different formats to be listening to, but as something like Atmos, you want to like actually use the space around them. You don't want it to be exactly like the stereo experience, because then why did you bother putting it in Atmos? But it's mostly about making sure the storytelling carries through. So like vinyl doesn't need to sound perfect and have absolutely no clicks or pops. I think a lot of people would miss the clicks and pops if they listened to a perfect sound. But making sure the pops and clicks aren't covering your favorite lyric or making it unlistenable. So just kind of balancing what makes that format unique against how to maximize the listening experience is a huge part of it, I think.
Yeah, and you're ultimately, I consider like this artist, because you're kind of painting how the sound's gonna end up on multiple platforms where, maybe, as you mentioned, the Beatles, as we're listening to maybe our favorite Beatles record, and you're ultimately, as a mastering engineer, kind of painting that canvas, I guess. How do you utilize creativity when you first, like, artist comes to you and they're like, here's where my project's at, and I guess, where do you take your creativity in that process?
We actually have a metaphor we like to use that's close to the painting, but we actually say the artist paints the canvas, but no painting would look right in a museum without a frame around it.
Yeah.
So we kind of picture it as the artists paint this beautiful picture, but we put the frame on it to make it fit in with the rest of the collection at the gallery. So making sure to highlight like what that piece wants and how a frame can present it in its best possible form, but also using that frame to create some cohesion with the other pieces in the same gallery. If that's the album, if that's, a playlist on Spotify, just, using our artistry to give it the best possible presentation and emphasize to highlight the best parts of that piece. So our job isn't to, repaint any of the painting or anything. It's about what the artist intended and what the artist created. Our job is just to kind of pay super close attention and give it the last finishing touches to make it ready for the world.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like your job's adding like the sparkles already there. And then you're just like, I guess like extra adding all that extra glitter and sparkle to the record. And I think that's the fun of it. And I guess what maybe some of our listeners, they want to get into kind of what you do. And I'm talking about like, you're actually, I think the interesting part, like, because I got to see what happens at the bakery and how these vinyls are printed and stuff like that. I guess, can you go into the creative process of that, or someone who's never seen a vinyl printed, like what that process is?
Yeah, so cutting vinyl is a very fine balance of artistry and technical skills, because there is, of course, you know, as a physical format, there are physical limitations. Too sibilant an S will cut through the disc. So there is, of course, the technical side. But if you just, you know, flat process every S out of the record, then it's going to be awful to listen to. So I think a lot of the artistry comes in figuring out how we can make it fit those physical limitations, but also ensure that it still sounds good to listen to. So one of the projects we did a while ago was the Billie Eilish record.
Amazing.
It was a really incredible project to be a part of. But they were really long sides, you know, a record kind of comfortably fits 18 minutes, and it was well over 18 minutes. I don't remember exactly how long it was. But some tracks that meant we needed to focus on monoing the bass a little bit more, and other tracks that meant we needed to cut the high end a little more. So it's about figuring out how to meet the criteria without losing the actual soul of the song.
Right. And I think, like, you're adding that extra glimmer to these artists, and I guess with your own artistry, what are some of the things that, like, when you get a new project, like, let's say a new project has just come in, like, I guess, what are some of your, like, because it's really about listening, what are some of the things that you're, like, listening for that kind of amplifies your creativity and actually gets you excited to be like, yes, I'm working on this?
Well, it helps that I love, like, genuinely love every genre of music. Like, some days it'll be, like, ska, some days it'll be polka, some days it'll be the next pop hit. And, like, I will find so much joy in listening to all three of those pretty equally. It also, I think one of the main things I do in my process is listen for what it should sound like, not just where it is. I think it's about finding, like, a really good reference point to go off of. So understanding where it is and then listening for where it should be going. So I recently had a track called Light Up the Sky that, like, was fantastic and wanted to head in this very Halsey-like direction, but needed a little more warmth and a little more blend on the vocal stacks to get there. So finding a good reference point of where you're trying to take it versus where it is a really good way to make sure you're staying on track as you're fine-tuning this other person's art.
Yeah, that's true. Because that, I think the references really help, like, guide kind of where you're going to go and what that finished product and, like, what we're all going to hear, right? Like the Billie Eilish stuff, like, what we're going to all hear that, and how cool is that?
And sometimes that reference isn't a specific song. Sometimes that reference is more like, this song should feel like drinking a hot cocoa in a snowstorm. And, like, that's not always the most tangible goal. But if when you're listening to your final master, you're like, this does feel like hot cocoa in a snowstorm, then you got there.
I love that analogy of hot cocoa in a snowstorm. What are some of the other analogies that, like, you know, maybe you use in reference to, like, when you get different songs for fun? Like, I guess, like, what are some of those? Like you said,
I think, like, one we did recently should feel like you're swing dancing in a ballroom. Even if, you know, you're sitting in your seat, sitting still, you should feel like you're moving around, like you're flying with the horn section. Another one was, like, we had one really good a cappella, really dark piece that was, like, you should feel like you're crawling through the coal mines with the miners as they're singing. And it just should feel like you're in this tight, dark space, which, like, darkness doesn't have a sound really, but you can still be kind of brought there with the right sonic profile.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, I think of, you know, some of our favorite TV shows and films and how the music or even absence of sound can kind of create different levels, whether it's like a thriller and the anxiety or like the happiness. And I guess, like, is there some aspects in mastering that kind of helps you with, like, as you mentioned, like the different analogies, helps with the vibe of what area of emotion it's going to be?
Yeah, I think that's kind of some of what I was talking about with the framing. Like, I actually studied sound design in college, not music, so like theatrical and film sound design. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of helped build this lens on how I master, because, you know, there's no plug-in that you throw on and now it's dark, or now it's, you can always throw reverb and create space, but like, mastering really is a discipline that every single track will have a different answer no matter what, even through the same album. So it's about making sure you're using, one, changing your mind. If you made a decision that doesn't fit with your vision, being willing to scrap that and start again, but also being willing to be like, oh, we got a little bit darker, but maybe we need to add also like an LA 2A for some warmth to also bring us farther down that path.
Yeah. And being that you're listening all the time, now I'm curious, because, you know, as a fellow listener too, like, and we're always listening to music, what do you do like creatively for yourself that helps you reset, whether that's resetting your ears or just you're working crazy hours? Some of our listeners may be working crazy production hours and stuff. What are some of the things that you do for yourself creatively to help reset?
Well, ear fatigue is a real danger, especially in mastering, but in like all disciplines of audio, if you feel your ears getting lazy or tired, go take a walk, go be in the relative quiet of the outside world. You know, our studio's in Culver City, so when you go outside, there's still plenty of traffic, sirens, helicopters.
Yeah.
The world is loud, but to give your ears a break from critically listening, especially to just go enjoy what the world actually sounds like, helps ground me a lot in when I go back into the studio to give me some perspective again. You know, I also do love music and have a playlist of songs that will help reground my ear too. Recently, Squabble Up has been one of my go-tos. GMX, fantastic album, and the low end just sounds exactly like I want my low end to sound like for something like that. So having good reference songs is another really valuable way to reground your ear, but just watch out for ear fatigue, because they will not break that fatigue.
Right. Yeah. And I think like even for our listeners who are creatives that maybe are overworking, maybe this is your sign to take a pause. As you mentioned, go for a walk, do something for yourself, because self-care is so important in creative spaces to find that balance, because sometimes we get really digging in and then we don't find that moment that maybe we should just give space, take a walk, and that will help actually with the work.
Absolutely. You know, you can find that groove and then you can go too far down that groove that you hit a point of diminishing returns, and that's, you're no longer making progress, you're just stuck in the groove.
Yeah, and that's a perfect analogy too, because you get stuck in the groove and then you're just actually not making it better. And you're just like, then it's just getting worse. So space is just such a needed thing for our creatives. And thanks, Willow, for sharing about that, because like, yeah, I think it's a necessary thing as a creative. And I'm curious, like, with some of your creativity, what do you do outside of music? What do you do to keep your creative juices flowing? You know, you mentioned going on a hike and going outside to reset your ears, but is there other creative stuff that you do outside that also keeps the juices flowing that maybe aren't related to music?
Yeah, I am a big fan of visual art. I also was a dancer for a while and loved dance, though that's still pretty on the music wave. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the physical kinesthetic feeling of dancing to music is a different emotional experience. I feel like it's not quite as a listener. It's definitely not as an engineer, but a different type of artistry from your... You get to work with the artist that's singing in a way that engineers don't, because you're creating something new on top of their creation instead of helping create their creation. Mm-hmm. I also do really like doing visual art. We actually have a wood shop that we've been working on building up.
Oh, cool.
And sometimes it's nice to just throw on a podcast and spend 2 hours sanding a block of wood, and a little bit of a meditative state just to allow yourself to think about things that aren't music for a little bit too.
Right. Yeah. Because it's balance and finding that balance. And that's so important as a creative, of like giving yourself the space, go outside, walk, or do another hobby or something that maybe isn't as connected, because that will actually help influence the other. You know, you may be like shaping the wood and then all of a sudden an idea comes and you're like, okay, when I get back to, you know, the record, I'm going to actually integrate that because I found that answer while I was doing something else.
Yeah. And also just spending time not listening to pre-prepared content. Like, I do listen to a podcast when I'm sanding, but like plenty of the power tools you can't. And I think it's really valuable to be alone in your head for some of those times. Like, to be, even if you're like thinking about the woodworking you're doing, in the back of your mind, you're still pondering those ideas, like you were saying. So just having time, you're not focusing on it, but you're also not focusing on listening to anything else. Like, just be alone in your head sometimes.
Right. Be alone and get that solitude to help reset. And then that will help you be even more creative with your next endeavors. Speaking of fun, we're going to have a fun round. I'm calling this, we're going to do some extra baking at the bakery. And we're going to do this quick round. So what is your biggest dream that you haven't said out loud?
Probably to get a Grammy one day.
Yeah. It's happening. It's already that's probably like next year Grammys, I'm telling you.
We'll see. But hopefully one day.
Yeah, it's in the works. What about one word for your creative superpower?
Ooh, perspective.
I like that. What about delusional or visionary?
Both.
Right? You kind of have to
they're
be both.
One and the same. Tyler, the Creator, has a great quote that's like, I'm crazy, but that's why I'm also successful. You just need to build a team of people around you that trust you're crazy.
Right? I agree with that. And then what about a celebrity you'd love to manifest as a collab tomorrow?
Honestly, Dan Povenmire, the creator of Phineas and Ferb, would be the coolest ever.
That would be. Well, who knows? Maybe call the bakery tomorrow. Anything can happen over here.
Yes, our doors are open to anyone at all times, but Dan Povenmire will get the VIP treatment.
Right? Okay, what about your most dangerous distraction?
My cat. Right. He is a needy cat, and he will totally come take all of my time if I let him.
I feel you on that. I have a dog, so I'm like, our pets and animals, they like attention.
But I love giving them attention, too.
And then what about a song that you instantly puts you in creator mode?
Ooh. Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi, I think.
Ooh, okay.
It made its way back into my rotation recently. I know it's very 2010s, but it's pretty inspiring to me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We'll have to add that in the playlist. Like, when we share your episode, we'll make sure to add a link so that our listeners can listen to
you
to
totally
put it back
should.
Into rotation.
Yes.
And then what about what's more important, talent or obsession?
Talent. I think the grind set has definitely created some toxic ideas about how valuable obsession can be. You know, the greatest athletes in the world, frankly, I think have a very unhealthy relationship with their sports often. If you look at F1 drivers, they talk how it's above all else, above their health, above their family. And, you know, very talented and very skilled people, but you're guaranteed, I think, to burn yourself out if you obsess. You need to find a healthy balance between your passion, your love, your obsession, and your talent and your skills.
Yeah, I agree with that, because we need, as creatives, we can obsess and have fun and create, but we gotta have the balance, because that brings better creativity up front, because if otherwise you're just exhausted, you have no energy. Yeah, so I agree. Yeah, what about the last thing you the last thing, I guess, that gave you creative goosebumps. Don't tell me it was the Billie Eilish.
No, that was too long ago. Last thing that gave me creative goosebumps, honestly, was probably this past weekend. I went to a concert, like 7-hour show, I think, in a warehouse.
Wow. And what? It was 7 hours?
Yeah, I had three DJs. But
oh, that's so cool.
It was a warehouse and there were stickers on phones. No one was allowed to be on phones, especially on the dance floor.
I love that.
And the people I met and the creative energies in the room, and the artist had a couple moments where he really connected with all of us at once, gave me crazy creative goosebumps. It was like, we are all here in this moment together, creating together, even though
I love that.
Doing a lot of the creation.
Right? That's so amazing. I'm so really happy you had that experience.
Shout out Salute. Great show.
Amazing. And then what about one habit that changed your life?
Ooh. One habit that changed my life. Probably consistently getting sleep. I think one habit that changed my life was definitely getting sleep on a regular basis. Actually, like, prioritizing getting at least 6 hours, ideally 8 hours. But being like, you know, whatever I'm working on will be better if I wait till tomorrow to keep working on it. I will be a better person to the people in my life, to myself, and better at the things I do if I get real sleep. We all actually need sleep.
I agree with that, Willow. I'm like, high five, team sleep, team sleep.
Team sleep, absolutely.
You come and bring yourself better to the world when you have a good amount of sleep instead of the lack of sleep, because you're all groggy. And no matter how many cups of coffee or matcha or tea you have, it kills your vibe.
Exactly. And I think that's another way the grind set culture has damaged the entertainment industry. There is no valor in staying up 48 hours doing carpentry. You're endangering yourself using power tools at that point.
Yeah, you're right. And that culture is something that we got to shift, because we need to take care of ourselves, especially as creatives. And our listeners, like, if anything you gain from Willow is, like, just, you know, find that balance, because you can't present yourself as a better human to whatever work circumstance or creativity if you're not having the right amount of sleep. And I guess, like, taking those pauses and walks to reset yourself when you're getting too obsessed with maybe something, you got to take your step away. So yeah, it creates a better product.
100% it creates a better product. I think there's a lot of conversation about, like, learning to say no, which is also really important, but you can say yes to a lot more things when you take care of yourself.
Yeah, really true. Because if you're good, you can say yes to the things, but if you're not keeping yourself good, it's going to be no to a lot. So yeah, exactly. This is a great reminder for our listeners, you know, take that time, take care of yourself, right?
Put on your own oxygen mask first.
Yep. 100%. And what about, finish this sentence. Playing small is?
Playing small?
Yeah, playing small is blank.
I don't know if I know what playing small means.
That's perfect too, right? Okay. We don't play small.
Yeah.
Right? Playing small is not in the program.
In the vocabulary
at all.
Way. Go big or go home.
Exactly. We're about dreaming bigger over here. And speaking of dreaming bigger, I always ask each of my guests one word that kind of connects them to creativity and dreaming bigger. What would that one word be for you, Willa?
I think that would have to be collaboration.
Yeah.
Art is all just an idea in your head until you decide to share it with the world. Like, there was no reason to publish it if it wasn't for you and for me. So,
right.
And I think collaboration just takes it so much farther. It's about communication and collaboration. But, like, every voice you add to the conversation multiplies the perspectives, because all of us have had huge numbers of life experiences if we've made it to adulthood,
right,
or into teenage, like, adolescence. But collaboration is what makes something go a step farther. Every voice you add that contributes to the work actually is enhancing it a whole nother level that you couldn't have had without bringing more people into the room. I think it's one of the reasons it's so cool and valuable that the Recording Academy and We Are Moving the Needle and all these programs are bringing more women and more diverse voices into the studio, because collaboration is what makes us go farther. Like, without other people, why are we here? Like, what are we doing? We're just calling into the void.
Exactly right. Collaboration is like, it's just a vital part, and it adds to the artistry. And speaking of storytelling, which kind of started out like what we were talking about, is like you're creating that frame and helping tell that story, and that has artistry in itself. And, you know, without collaboration, and as you mentioned, communication, having that proper communication, that, you know, helps amplify and helps us dream even bigger. Go to the Grammys and have all the accolades, but it takes a team, and it's a team effort, and collaboration is, as you said, kind of the best way. And speaking of that, if some of our listeners, maybe they're artists that want to get their stuff mastered by you, or they want to find out more about the bakery, I guess, how can they find you, Willow? How can they follow you? Share your like handles and where to find you.
Yeah. Please feel free to reach out to us. We love to have new artists, especially if you're in SoCal. We love to have sessions attended too. So you're welcome to come check out the studio, see us cut a record, listen to us actually work on your tracks. We're online at thebakery.la is our website, at Bakery Mastering on Instagram, and I'm at Willow Edge Audio on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Willow, for being on the Limitless podcast. We're all about dreaming bigger, and especially collaboration, as you mentioned. And it's just about going for your dreams and dreaming bigger. And why not bring more to the fold, bring more to the party, right? And let's collaborate.
Let's collaborate. Shoot your shot on those collaborations too. Like, send that Hail Mary DM to the your dream collab. Get a quote from your favorite engineer. Even if you can't afford it yet, it's a goal to go for. You know, apply for that scholarship. Even if you get rejected, you applied. Like, shoot for your collaborations, shoot for the stars, and you'll get somewhere at least.
Right? Dream bigger, go after it, and just shoot your shot and have fun doing it and collaborate. Thanks so much, Willow.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome.